Welcome to the Gritty Hour. Time to get down to the nitty-gritty.
Okay, we're here with Sean E. Boy. Welcome to another episode of the Gritty Hour. Sean E. Boy is a blood relative of mine. He is my nephew, and he's going to be sort of a quasi co-host over the course of this summer coming. So, Sean E. Boy, he's a teacher in the Bronx, right?
That's correct.
Marks the Bronx.
The boogie.
You're coming, you're winding that up this year?
Oh, yeah, the countdown is on, T.
And you can't wait to become a co-host over the summer while you're in your downtime.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, you know, me and you, we always tend to have a good time when we talk. So I'm sure we'll enjoy ourselves this summer.
How are you enjoying teaching?
I love teaching. I'm wrapping up my 16th year and I still love it. I still enjoy being around the kids, even though sometimes I'm like, do I?
What do you teach? I mean, what age range do you teach?
I'm 8th grade, 13 or 14 year olds. I've done that most of my career. I teach English history.
That's public school, right?
Basketball. I wear a lot of hats. Yeah, that's a public school in the Bronx. It's right near the, if people know the Bronx, it's right by the Grand Concourse in Jerome. Tracy Towers is a good landmark around that.
Yeah, well, that's so I guess that's considered middle school if it's public school.
Yeah, PS is middle school, IS is elementary school, and the high schools have names attached to them.
Well, your Uncle Tom went to school in the Bronx, but he went to Catholic school.
Yeah, Catholic. That's still a thing, believe it or not. People still doing that.
People doing the Catholics, yeah. But there's not too many nuns in it anymore in there. It's all lay teachers, you know.
Yeah, I don't believe so. But I've had a few old students who went to Catholic school. All Hallows.
Down by Yankee Stadium.
Yep. Yeah. And I had a few people go to Corner Hayes, which is a still respected school.
Yeah, well, your tuition's paid for if you get in there.
You don't
have to pay tuition. It's for the uppity ups, or the people that actually pay attention in grammar school get to go to Cardinal Hayes. So, needless to say, I didn't go to Cardinal Hayes.
I wouldn't have gotten in everything.
So what else are you going to do for your summer? You got summer coming up. Actually, this weekend is Memorial Day.
Yeah, it's
actually, by the time this adds, it will be Memorial Day.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Obviously for a lot of different people, but, you know, for teachers, you know, our world got flipped upside down this year, of course. And it's amazing that we've kind of been doing it for over a year now. And it's people say it's the new normal. That's bullshit. Like, it doesn't feel normal. You know, to this day, I'm not like, oh, this is good. This is a good way to do it. So they just announced today that the city is going to reopen the schools full time in September, which I was happy.
So what are you doing? Like a quasi Zoom, quasi in person, or what? How's that working?
I'm like one of the few teachers in my school that's just in person. I don't do any. I've done like Zoom teaching over the course of the year, but now I'm just full time.
Mm-hmm.
Kids in the classroom.
Are all the kids back, or are some of the parents have reservations about bringing them back?
Yes, they opened up an opportunity for the kids to come back in April. We got one kid back. So no one really took it this year. So I have three different groups. It's like an A day, B day, C day, A day, B day, C day. And I have 5, 6, and 7.
Is that as far as you go?
What do you mean?
A, B, C, D. It's 5 days in the week, no?
there's only three groups.
What are you doing on E-Day? Eating lunch?
Yeah, right. It's music and art.
So, well, good. And you teach, well, you used to teach social. I remember you used to teach social studies. I don't know if you still do.
I the last year or two, I haven't, because I've taken on a new role as like a dean.
Wow.
So
let me put a tie on. Hold it.
Yeah. It sounds special. I don't know if it's so special, but it sounds special.
Yeah.
Teaching's been really good to me.
Yeah. So no more Mesopotamia for you. It's all about. So what actually do you teach?
And I do more reading comprehension. I do writing, but I'm better at teaching reading comprehension.
You're part of the Bronx. Is the kids mostly English as a second language, or? You teaching them grammar? What are you doing?
Let me think. So I would say that most kids are coming from English is a second language home. Some of the kids do speak English fluently. Some of the kids don't. We have English is the second language. It's called now English is called the ENL. English is a new language. They keep flipping things around for some reason. It's predominantly, I would say, Spanish, all different types of Spanish countries. And we have the Far East, but not as far as China, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, those type of countries is pretty popular in the area. I am in the Bronx. You definitely get a little section of Albania and that part of Europe. That's pretty much predominantly the groups that I teach. Talking to parents, most of the parents, English is definitely a second language. Hmm. Yeah, so.
Hey, have you been to a Met game yet this year?
No, I have not been to a Met game yet this year. But
you and your brother still have season tickets?
Or? We do. Yeah. This is our 21st year, 20th year, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. And how many World Series they have? Zippo.
Well, they 24. Well, you went right after 2000?
2002. The year they got if anyone out there is a Met fan, then the year they got Roberto Alomar, Mo Vaughn, we're like, yo, we're taking the championship. We won 60 games that year.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Roberto. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mets have always been known for getting the guys on the last legs,
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's and then
trade Nolan Ryan before he hits his prime. Get Roberto Alomar when he's ready for batting practice,
Trade Tom Seaver for two boxes of shoes out of his prime. This year has been it's been pretty good with the Mets. They have a ton of injuries, so I don't know how this year is going to really pan out. But
yeah, well, as you know, because of the culture wars, I haven't really been following the Mets.
Yeah, what's your culture war about it? Why don't you elaborate on that, sir?
No, I'm not going to elaborate on that. Well, I'm just boycotting it. I'm boycotting all sports, basically for various reasons. But
go ahead.
I do miss the Mets. I'm not going to lie, but I like I told a friend of mine, I could tell you the starting lineup of the 76 Cincinnati Reds, but I can't tell you who the hell's on the Mets this year.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Pete Alonso, I know, big tall fella.
Yeah, hits a lot of home runs.
Yeah, I don't know who else is on there.
We're in the Gritty Hour, and for all the people that do watch this, my uncle right here, he's the reason why I'm a Met fan. So, to hear him say that he doesn't really
don't blame me, you bastard.
No,
you could thank me for your stress-free Augusts most of the time.
Yeah, by that time I'm watching the Jets minicamp. I'm like, all right. All right.
But they're doing good this year, I'm told, through the grapevine.
They're doing all right. There's like every player right now. There's six or five of them of the starting eight fielders are injured.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see the Braves are getting hot. So I know exactly where this is headed.
Well, aren't they close to or in first place in the NL East?
Yeah, they're two games in first.
Yeah. See, I got to give you full disclosure. It's not just the culture wars, but it's what they've done to baseball in the last 25 years. Maybe I'm just an old bastard, but they've changed so many rules to take away what I thought was the fun of baseball,
Yeah, they flipped it upside down for sure. The baseball that and the baseball that I grew up as a kid, that doesn't exist anymore.
No. Do they still have that rule where you start off an extra inning with a guy on second?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. That's like beer leagues, man.
I'm going to be honest with you. I like it. And I'll tell you why. I like it because the days of the 16 inning game were I'd rather take a nail gun to my head or over. And it's exciting because there's a guy on second. And right away, the inning is interesting. So I do kind of like that. There's other stuff I don't like about the changes, but
It screws up like stats. It screws up everything to me.
I think once steroids screwed up stats, I think stats are forever screwed.
Well, this is true too, but you could throw an asterisk next to Barry Bonds, but who the hell gets credited for a guy that was, he comes up to the plate with a guy already on second base and he's going to get credited for an RBI. It's going to be asterisks all over the friggin' place.
They use the term ghost runner. I don't know if that's just what the Mets announcers use, but that's what they say. They call it a ghost runner.
Well, that's what they used to do for me, McGeady, get up there, get a hit, and we'll throw somebody out there on the base for you.
Yeah. Hey, yo, good shot.
Good shot. Now beat it.
Get off.
Well, this is what it's come down to. And of course, I'm not on the receiving end of this, but the catcher blocking the plate,
That's over.
The guy trying to knock over the second baseman on a double play.
But that ended with the Mets and the Dodgers.
This is the nitty gritty. Okay. This is what I'm getting at. I mean, they're taking the balls out of the game is what they're doing. No pun intended, or pun intended, maybe. Yeah,
I don't disagree with you. They're also trying to create a game that the younger generations are going to watch. That's a part of it too,
Yeah, well, the ratings are way the hell down.
Yeah, because the younger generation, after 3, 4, 5 seconds, they're like, I'm good with everything,
Yeah, well, the ratings are very, very far down, and I don't know if it's because of the people like myself that are boycotting it or just the fact that it doesn't have any teeth, the game, anymore, in my opinion. It's just my opinion, but.
Yeah.
The attraction of the game is they've eliminated everything that made the game attractive to me. In fact, on Facebook, I follow baseball. I forget what the hell the name of it is. Baseball in the 70s. It's like a group. and it was showing a play at the plate where. And I can't hear you. But it was, I'm trying to remember who the hell, I think it was Lou Piniella coming home. It was a base hit to right field, Lou Piniella coming home, and Carlton Fisk blocking the plate. It was Carlton Fisk and Lou Piniella, and it was like a riot. I mean, there was fights all over the place. And, no, nothing for nothing, but I like that.
At the end of the day, it's, the Romans had it right? Gladiators? I mean, that concept still exists today.
People get hurt. Used to be a much tougher game. Now it's, and I'm sure it's the insurance companies driving all these rule changes, what makes it, because these players get so much money.
Oh, 100%. Think about David Wright. Think about his contract, right? The Mets didn't pay 75% of that, whatever was remaining in the last 4 or 5 years.
Because of the insurance paid it.
Yeah.
And the insurance companies have insurance companies called reinsurance.
Yeah.
Which they're probably the ones sitting there saying, does that guy have to block the plate? Come on.
Yeah, right.
So violent. know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all my cards on the table. It's not just the whatever the hell they did last year, kneeling for the national anthem, knocking over the cardboard fans, whatever the hell it was.
The cardboard fans I had a hard time with. I'm like, you fucking serious with this?
Yeah, but the ratings are down, but they're not down nearly as bad as they are in the NBA, which they're right. It went right into the crapper, the ratings in the basketball.
Yeah, I think this past year, I think people started to realize, their attention went in other places because of the pandemic, and spending time with family and whatever else they got into. I'm not going to try to say I know what people were doing, but
it seems like the biggest sport now is that cage wrestling thing where,
a UFC. Yeah, that's no joke.
Whatever it is. You follow that?
Once in a blue, my buddies do. And then, my buddy Brian in Astoria where I used to live, sometimes he'll invite us down and it's awesome. But it's like $80 for the night. It's a lot.
Yeah. What do you got? Where is that? In Astoria?
No. Like through pay-per-view. I'm sorry. I left that part out.
Oh, in his house.
Yeah. So, it's a good time. So it's always good to go back to Queens every once in a while and
you miss living in Astoria? You still live in Astoria. You still miss living there?
No, I become a suburb guy, because when I go down there, you know, the reality is I miss the vibe, I miss the energy, but then like the people, the traffic, you're just like, what, you know, like it's exhausting. You're just like, I don't want to be a part of this no more. You know, I got to my 40s. I'm like, I'm good. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Well, it's similar to myself. You know, when I was younger, used to, because I was born and raised, even as an adult, lived in the Bronx, but you get to a certain age, Shawnee boy, and it becomes very difficult to keep that pace up.
You get off, like you get out of your car, if you get off the train, you know, so last week I went down into Manhattan to see some friends. I got off at Grand Central. I jump onto the 4 or 5 down to Union Square. I come out and it's just chaos. you start running, because like if you don't keep the pace, like you're that guy that nobody likes. You're like, get the fuck out of the way. Like, all right.
Yeah. I just watched the documentary, or one episode of it, Fran Lebowitz. It was actually, I saw it on Netflix, which, you know, I have to thank you for, because I'm under your account. God bless you, lad.
You know it.
Fran Lebowitz, it was done by Martin Scorsese. It's currently on Netflix if you want to check it out. She's a, you know, lifetime New Yorker. And,
she's an artist, right? Artist or something?
Yeah. Well, she, a writer. But she was like, I don't know how the hell 5,000 people a day don't get killed by traffic. You know? And when you think of it in that context, it makes sense. Like, why there's so much chaos? How the hell do people get from point A to point B without getting killed?
I mean, I don't know what it's like over the last like 6 months to a year, but before the pandemic, you know, I made this. I'll tell this story. So I was one of my last years in Astoria. I'm meeting a friend out for a happy hour, and I don't know, somewhere, but it was in Times Square, because that's where they work. I wasn't thinking. I got out like above Times Square and I had to walk through it. I felt like a tourist. Did I keep losing you?
Yeah. Well, it's my internet. My internet sucks.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So I apologize for that.
I'm like, is he just staring at me weird? I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
I keep getting a sign that says your internet connection is unstable.
Because all I would get is like a face. You're still, and I'm like, is he listening or is he tapped out? Like, what happened?
You glassy eyed.
Yeah.
No. So anybody listening to this, if you're hearing hesitation in mine or Shawnee Boy's voice, it's because my personal internet connection is crapola.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to name the company because it's Optimum, and I don't want people to know it's Optimum.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, so yeah, you were saying, I missed actually what you said. You went down to, I forget what the hell you were talking about already.
I was in Times Square, and I was living in the safest zone almost 15 years. I made a rookie mistake and got off like above Times Square and had to walk through it at like 6 o'clock at night on a Friday or whatever. I was just like, I was like claustrophobic, and like, there was 400 different languages going on. I was like, this is crazy, man. I'm just trying to get a beer.
That was recently?
No, that was probably 5-6 years ago.
Well, I was going to say, you might have a little respite now with tour, you know, at least European tourism on the kibosh for a little while.
Yeah, but I'm sure it'll come back soon.
By the end of the summer, it's going to be elbow to elbow again.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Especially Times Square. I don't know why the hell people want to go there.
Yeah, I was last Saturday. I was in Alphabet City and the West Village. It was humming. People were everywhere. There's people all over the place. It was good. It was good to see. It was good to see the.
Well, there's a lot of people from the United States still coming here, but they still are they letting people in from Europe? What's the story with that?
I don't know. I tapped out from the news a while ago, man.
Yeah, me too. I don't blame you.
You turn it on, you're like, oh my, all right. You start like you immediately start stressing. You turn on the news. You're like, why would I do that to myself?
Yeah. Well, now that I've been fully vaccinated, I'm hopefully planning to go to Vegas in October.
What's going on in Vegas?
Gambling.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
You going solo or you going with?
No, I'm going to go with my friend George, and I think Rich might come, and Rich, my other friend Rich.
The band's getting back together?
We'll put the band back together.
All right.
Yeah, so hopefully that'll happen, you know. But it'll be nice to get away from New York for five, six days.
You're going to make a couple of poor decisions? All right, that's good.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to do that. I'm planning for the poor decisions, you know.
I'm headed to Florida in July.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, how the hell are you going to do this podcast from there? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to bring your laptop so you can co-host this thing if you want to co-host it.
Yeah. I plan on co-hosting it every week. If that's
do you? Okay, cool.
The Shawnee Boy's here to stay.
Well, we got some interesting people coming up the pipeline there, you know, trying to coalesce. I have, for some reason, you know, I'm doing this for shits and giggles. I'm not going to lie to you, doing the podcast thing. But it seems like there's a lot of other people that know about this that are really into it. I don't know why, but so it's forcing me to propel to a, you know, like I'm buying different mics and trying to upgrade things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, podcasts, you know, it's a big craze for podcasts. Podcasts are everywhere. But you know,
seems like everybody, you know, podcasts I follow are mostly stand-up comedians. It seems like every stand-up comedian has a podcast. I watch them, a thing called Bad Friends on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm aware of it. I don't really watch it, but I'm aware of it.
It's funny as hell, I think, you know. And they each have their own pod. So it's like it's these two guys. One guy's a Filipino comedian, and one guy's an Irish comedian. So they have this show called Bad Friends. But each of them individually have their own podcasts, you know. And then the Filipino guy has a girlfriend, and they have another podcast. I forget what the name of it is. And then she has one on her own. It's like every, you know,
yeah.
You know, walk around with headphones around in case you plug into something. Hey, how are you?
Yeah. Well, after this, I do my own podcast at 7:30. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. 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 No, I need you to fully focus on this endeavor.
Oh, I'm in the gritty hour. I'm here.
You're it. You're in the gritty hour. Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to tell you if anyone actually does watch this, my eye.
Yeah. What the hell happened to your eye?
This is a new wound.
John L. Sullivan got a hold of you?
I'm over 40 now. I 2 weeks ago, I pulled my hamstring.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh.
No, you please. It's hysterical. So
it sounds like a Rodney Dangerfield joke, but go ahead. Hit it. Yeah.
The last 20, 25 minutes of our school day, we take the kids out to socialize because they've been living in a cave for the last year.
Hmm.
We play kickball, but I just play the outfield, you know, like whatever, just to help out, you know, the kids. And this kid hits this ball, and it's like a windy day, and the wind kind of picks the ball up, and it's like, but it's going backwards, and I'm turning, and like 19-year-old Sean kicked it. I'm like, yo, I'm gonna fucking catch this. So I explode, and my left hammy within three steps. I was like, oh, and I literally like had to stop, and I was just like, did I just pull my hamstring playing kickball? And I was like, man, I'm in my 40s. So I've been dealing with that. And then yesterday I was off. I'm a big golf person. And I got a bug in my eye, you know, on the course. And then like with my bare hand, which was dirty and there's pollen everywhere, I'm like, this would be good. This would be good. And I woke up this morning, my eye was like closed. I was like, oh man.
Well, now, when you were a kid, we played a lot of baseball. And I might have told you if you hurt your elbow or something to rub some dirt on it. You know,
you did. You said, stop being a bitch and put some dirt on it.
Right. But I would never tell you to rub dirt in your eyeball. What the hell is that?
I don't know. Because, you know, like when the bug goes in, you just want to get it out.
You
just like,
well, you don't throw dirt in there.
No, I wasn't. Sometimes. Sometimes I just react. Sometimes I don't think it through.
So. You know, you throw a bottle of water in there, maybe. Yeah. But, you know.
No, I got to the water about 4 minutes later when I realized that's probably too late. And then, so the rest of the round, I'm playing golf. I'm like blinking. It was just one of those days.
Best round you ever had, right?
Yeah, it was a decent round.
Yeah. No slicing, no dicing. I'm not a golfer. I don't know.
Yeah.
My friends all golf, and I don't know what the hell they're talking about. Putting and
Chips, putts.
I'm a stickball guy, you know. I'm an old school Bronx stickball guy.
Different type of game. Golf is the type of thing you either end up like loving it or you're like, I'm good.
Mm.
You know, it's a tough game.
Well, but we're in a good stretch of weather, so you've had good golf weather.
Oh, it's been amazing. I've been playing left and right, which has been great.
So when you do retire from teaching, he should take up golf as a, you know, whatever.
Yeah, something.
Senior league champion.
No, yeah, I'm sure I'll be in some kind of golf league because I've gotten pretty decent at it. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm decent. You know, yeah. I mean, you know, people who are really good shooting 70s, that's and I can shoot in the 80s, you know, sometimes 90s, you know, I mean, not area, which is a decent golfer.
But that, you know, what I do know about golf is 90 on one course could be good and 90, the same 90 on another course could be crap, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The course plays a huge, huge part in it. And then, you know, I could play the same course three different times and shoot like a 95, 82, and an 89. It could just, because that's golf. Golf is the most inconsistent. Like this, some days I'm like, dude, I'm on fire. And other days I'm like, I should quit. I think I should quit this game because it's just so, like, it's such a roller coaster.
Yeah. A lot of people do play, find it very frustrating.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
You know.
You need patience.
Yeah.
You don't have
patience. Yeah, I don't understand why they would continue playing if it's that frustrating, but you know, it's not for me to say.
you ever see that Robin Williams stand up when he makes the golf joke?
What's the joke?
I mean, it's, you know, I'm not going to try to imitate Robin Williams, but he explains what it's like to play a hole in golf, and he's like, they have this fucking hole all the way down there, and you got to hit this, and then you got to change the club and hit the second shot, and then you got to fucking putt. And it's this little hole. And he's like, and then you got to do it 18 more fucking times.
Yeah. Well, that's why I usually meet people at the 19th hole. I say, let me know when you're done. I'll be over here. Yeah. Well, I used to say I'll be over here watching the Met game on TV, but I'll still be at the 19th hole. Yeah.
You got to stand by your principles these days. You can't be watching Met games.
Yes, you got to stand for something in this world, man. So somebody's got to stand for something, goddammit. But I'm not the only one boycotting sports, by the way.
No, you're not. I know a lot of people are.
I mean, there's millions, I think, millions of people. If you either they're boycotting it for principle or they're boycotting it because they don't give a shit anymore. One or the other, the ratings are way the hell down in all the sports.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's I don't know. Listen, as you know, it's been a topsy turvy time and just in life. For everybody around the world. I think everybody around the world is tasting it in some way or another.
Yeah, well, they're still playing soccer over there, aren't they, in Europe? Or...
Yeah, it's the number one sport in the world. That's a big deal.
Keek. Well, yeah, it's all good, you know. But I got to admit, I do miss watching the Met games, but I'll get over it.
Yeah, like tonight, I'm gonna just pop in. You know, I'm doing a little laundry right now, and you know, once I'll just pop and watch. You know,
I'm really sorry, my internet connection is so bad because it slows down, and it sounds like you're drunk when you're talking. Because all I heard was, you know, like tonight, I'm popping laundry.
I'll say this because I'm still adjusting to that, because when I'm talking to you and then that happens, I'm like, is he just like, what the fuck is this kid talking about? You have like, because it has like that face of like, dude, really?
Yeah, well, if I take the time, which I won't, to edit all the slow downs, it'll be a 6-minute conversation the way it's going. So
that's all right. You know what? We don't give a fuck.
I don't really, you know. Mm-mm.
No.
So, but anyway, yeah. So, I have a friend of mine. A local guy, he actually does, I won't name him without his permission, but he actually does lighting for a lot of the productions on the HBO shows that they film around here. And he set up a lighting thing here, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it looks good. I mean, did he help you with the deck, with the backdrop, with all those?
No, he much to my own fault, I said I would do it myself, but I'm going to get there eventually, you know, get something cooler behind me, you know, try and coalesce all of these elements together, you know.
Nice picture of a Corvette or something.
But the days of taking it for shits and giggles seems like they're over. I got to start focusing on improving the podcast now.
People, there's an expectation.
They're like, yeah. Like, yeah. Do this? Come on. The first one we did was with a fellow named Felice Manzi. I don't know if you heard the first podcast. And it was called Interview with a Vietnam Veteran. And
I heard it. I listened to it.
Yeah, it was very interesting. But anyway, we've gotten so much positive feedback from it, including emails from people. I don't know where the hell they're from, but I didn't know anybody would actually listen to this besides me and Felice Manzi. And turns out it's been downloaded a hell of a lot of times. So
yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's amazing that, you know, there's so much content out there, but like, you know, people, you know, we live in a world now where people are on their phones or their tablet or what, you know, whatever, and they're looking for content, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like TV is dying. I'm not saying people don't watch TV, but the idea of that is not what it used to be. You know, people are more into YouTube and content and et cetera.
Yeah. Well, I don't own a TV. I don't have cable at home.
Is that a part of your protest stand?
No, I never liked cable, you know. It's like seeing a show on the History Channel that was on 12 years ago. I mean, yeah. And they show it like once a month or something. Just doesn't appeal to me. But I get along. I see so much content on YouTube or Netflix, or I also have Amazon Prime. Watch a movie whenever the hell I want, you know. I haven't watched a commercial. I mean, I have, should I say this publicly? I have ad blocker on the YouTube, but I haven't watched a commercial in about 3 years.
This guy. Why is ad blocker illegal?
I don't know.
I have it too. Shh, don't tell anyone.
No, well, I'm just saying. And, you know, when I go to your aunt's house or your mother's house, and I watch YouTube over there, they don't have ad blocker. It drives me up the wall.
That's a pay grade that they're not ready for.
No, I know. But I mean, I can't stand. I've gotten to the point where I cannot stand to watch a commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, or listen to one on the, you know, I can't even listen to the radio in my car anymore. It's so bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Like the radio, I don't even know. I don't even know like how like radio even works anymore. Do people even listen to radio? That's still a thing?
Somebody must, because, you know, I put like a rock and roll station on and they're playing, you know, if I hear Born to Be Wild one more time, I might just drive off the road, you know, or Magic Carpet Ride or
Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah. It's a classic rock, you know, but it's the one thing I do miss about the Bronx is WFUV, Fordham University Radio.
Okay. Yeah. College radio stations are the best.
It's really good stuff. You know,
always the best. Up by you is Vassar. I think Vassar has a station up by you guys.
Oh yeah, I don't know if it reaches over to me, but yeah. I don't exactly sit there and peruse the channels either. Yeah. I put the radio on half the time. I'm putting a CD in there, or you know, I got to figure out how to do the Bluetooth on my phone or something. But I you know, and they have commercials up the ass, especially if you're driving during what they call drive time. Well, is that what they call it? Drive time, rush hour.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We'll be back with, you know, we'll be back with the umpteenth Led Zeppelin song and right after this commercial break, you know.
Down, 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 down.
Yeah.
You know,
I love Zeppelin, but, you know, you know what? You know what I'm getting at.
So. I'll share this story. I'm in like middle school and, you know, I was listening to all that rap and you used to be like, what are you doing? What are you doing listening to that rap? And
I put you back on the right road.
You introduced me. You're like, all right, I'm gonna play you this song. You know, at the time I'm like, all right, whatever. By this like Lynyrd Skynyrd, Freebird. And I'm like, all right. And I listened to Freebird, and then that whenever I listened to that, maybe a month or two later, that summer, I don't know if you remember these commercials. There used to be like commercials for a group, and it would be like a box set, buy the CD box set of this group, and they would play like whatever, like you know, four or five songs of the commercial. And I heard Led Zeppelin. I was like, who is this group? And I heard the riff, the da-na-na-na. And that literally, from Freebird to that, changed to pretty much the trajectory of my life.
Well, that's good. Yeah, music can change your life, Sean.
100%. Like, and like the people I hung out with, because in high school, you're hanging out with people who like the same types of music, the same, you know, like you're not, mm-hmm. like, you know, if you don't listen to hip hop, you're probably not hanging out with the hip hop group.
Yeah. You know? Well, when you first entered adulthood, you started getting into Pearl Jam.
Yeah, I've seen them 40, 50 times. I don't even know. you know.
Great band. Eddie Vedder is a great vocalist. Or he's a great vocalist.
I don't really like them too much anymore. I don't like the new stuff they're putting out.
Uh-huh.
I mean, listen, they're on like album number 10 or 11. I can't expect him to be in the same band. It's not really something I'm that into. So
yeah, I missed that whole thing with the, you sounded drunk again. Your internet connection is unstable. I'm sorry, folks, whoever's listening to this.
Are you, so are they going to be, is the, if any, like one person listens to it, are they going to hear me or is it all going to be like drunk sound?
I have a feeling they're going to hear what I'm hearing in my headphones, which is like, well, it'll be part of the charm, Shawnee Boy.
how did it go with Shawnee Boy?
He was stewed.
His eye was all fucked up, man. What's wrong with this guy?
Yeah. So Pearl Jam, now, I like Pearl Jam myself. I understand what you're saying about their new stuff, but there was this band called Creed, which I think was they still are a Christian band.
Yeah, they were like a carbon copy of Pearl Jam. I think they used Pearl Jam as their template.
Well, they must have, because that guy sounds exactly like this guy. He sounds exactly like Eddie Vedder. And yeah, I never understood how I would tell people, don't they sound the same? Nah. So how could you not notice that?
What you're saying has been talked about in the world of music before.
People I hope so.
I've had that conversation about
it. I'm no musical expert, but it's glaringly evident. One was copying off of the other.
You know, the big thing, you know, when I was a teenager, you know, was the grunge, was Nirvana versus Pearl Jam. That was like the big, you know, like you were either Nirvana or you were Pearl Jam. At this point, I like them both. I like them both.
Yeah.
But like, that was a big, like.
Well, you know, now that I'm older, I kind of keep an open mind to. Well, actually, for a long time, I've kept an open mind to any type of music. If I like a song or I don't like a song, you know, I like a well-crafted song, you know, something that was well-written, some thought was put into the orchestration and the production and the lyrics and the musicianship. You know, these are the things I appreciate in my advanced years.
The arrangement, right? All that stuff.
Yeah, the whole thing. When, you know, if you give a crap about the songs you're putting out, you'll spend the time to put out the best thing you can put out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that just made me think about it. So, you know, like, you know, me and my friends, we've been to so many concerts like you, you know, tons of concerts. And, you know, because of your sister, my mother, you know, growing up in that house, she had easy listening on Sundays. So to this day, I still know all those songs. And like, I think I quietly like some of them, you know.
Well, she likes jazz. She was big into jazz and soul.
Jazz and soul and Motown, but then easy listening. And then when I hear it come on, like, I wouldn't even realize, but I'm singing along to it. And my friends be like, yo, what's wrong with you, man? They'll give me that look like, what, you good?
Let's get it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, but we all had, I think, good taste in music, all my brothers and sisters, and we tried to pass it on to you bastards, you know, as you were coming up. But
but when you're 22, and no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, hit it. You're 22. No, you don't want to hear Piabo Bryson. I know.
Yeah, when you're 22 and like you're singing easy listening songs, your friends are, you know how your friends are.
Yeah.
They give you a hard time. So, but yeah, no, you guys, you. My aunt, your sister, my mom, you guys are played a big part in the music I listen to, for sure.
Yeah, well, I know when you're 22 and you're big in Pearl Jam, you're not gonna rush out to buy a Luther Vandross album. I understand.
But I like them. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to get at.
This is the thing. You try and expand your musical, like life. You try to expand your horizons as you go along, you know?
Yeah.
So you keep an open mind even to rap or, you know.
Can you do rap? Can you handle a rap song?
You want me to give you a rap? You want me to spit out something for you? Can I do rap? What the hell are you talking about?
Can you listen to it?
Yeah, it depends, you know. Yeah. And I'm not willing to divulge what I listen to rap-wise.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air doesn't count, right?
Yeah, I was going to say Coolio. So I guess I am willing to No, I, you know, it depends. It goes back to what I was saying about the song construction and is it a quality song, you know?
Yeah.
You know, because as Mr. J.M. McCarthy, who will be soon to be a guest on here, will tell you, rap is just poetry, and poetry was born out of an oral tradition, you know. Mm-hmm. Before people were writing poetry down, they were rapping it out.
You know? Yes, absolutely.
So, but if you know, I'm not, you know, I don't like the replication. I don't like sampling. I don't like the replication of the beats and things like that. I like to hear a real drummer. I like to hear a real bass player. And, you know, sometimes I can't tell the difference with the state of, you know, the technology available today, but I like to know that, you know, wood hitting the snare drum and there's a guy, as a human being playing the bass and the keyboards, you know. If I had to nail it, if I had to crunch it all down into one thing, that would be it. You know,
I got so, you want it real. You want organic sound. I got it.
Yeah, and rap tends to be a lot of computer generated sounds and sampling and just, you know, if you're into that, that's fine. But I gravitate more to the natural sound of things.
Yeah. There's I'm sure you've heard them, but Rage Against the Machine, I was a big fan of them.
Yeah.
They were alternative and hard, but he had a rap style to him. And I think that's what I liked so much about them was they integrated all these different sounds, but it was organic and there was a drummer and there was a bassist and there was a guitarist and, you know, like, and like, so he, they found a way to make rap sound, in my opinion, at a high level with a real instrument, because that I think that's the struggle with rap that I feel I've noticed is like, it doesn't really mesh always well with live instruments.
Yeah, yeah. And there, you know, and rap's been around so long. I mean, I think I was in high school when it first started coming out, so it's been around a long time. Yeah. I'm 116 years old now.
You look great.
Thank you. So I'm there's a hanger in my jacket keeping me upright. Like Weekend at Bernie's.
that was on yesterday.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
No. But you know, there's been a lot of artists that you would consider rock and roll artists over the years that tried to incorporate rap, at least to some degree, into their music. I'm thinking of Blondie. Back when rap was in its infancy, I guess, there was a guy called Curtis Blow, was like the biggest rap artist that I personally knew of. And, you know, they tried to incorporate some of that. And I remember Aerosmith and Run DMC did something over the years.
Yeah, that was a big one.
So there's always, you know, and you got to appreciate that, a little melding of the genres, so to speak.
Yeah, I think that was, super smart by Run DMC to pair up with Aerosmith, because Aerosmith at the time was a top tier band, you know, and just that, you know, because people who aren't used to a certain sound, they need to be like eased into it, right? You can, you know, it's hard for, if you don't gravitate to it right away, like you're going to like kind of reject it. Like,
yeah, but even at the time, Aerosmith was top tier in their genre, but Run DMC was top tier in their genre. Yeah. So it was just, and it seems like it worked, you know. They did Walk This Way, didn't they? Yeah. Walk This Way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to listen to that again. But it was, you know, that's, it's been around so long now. Got to be 40 plus years that rap's been around. So,
oh yeah, that and yeah, that was also in a time and when MTV just played like music and you could just like really hear music videos and, you know, that's when I missed that part of like because that, you know, that's where I learned about music
on MTV.
As much as I, you know, like from you or other people, but like you got to hear the music, you got to see it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think a lot of people don't see music on a regular basis anymore. Like,
well, you're 40 something years old.
Yeah, something.
I should know. You're my nephew. But
yeah.
What are you, 40 something? But so that means you were listening to, well, like I guess in the 80s, right? Was you listening to MTV?
Yeah, 80s and then the 90s.
Yeah.
Yes, you come home and like, you know, like when the sun went down, you're done playing the sports. I watched MTV, but then they invented this show called Real World, and it, you know, it was over. That was it.
Yeah. Well, it's like, what, trying to find history on the History Channel, you know?
Yeah, it's just real, because you get a challenge, then you realize, oh, this is making me money, but this will make me this much money. So, like, why would I?
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's the way it always is. Everything is so fragmented today. That's
good word. Good word.
Thank you. I used it. You know what put that in my head was I did an interview with Professor Bob Pucci. I don't know if you heard that podcast, but we were talking about the fragmentation.
Bob Pucci, I love that name.
Robert Pucci, Professor Robert Pucci, and we're discussing the state of journalism and how fragmented it's become.
I'm serious.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Can you see me? Can you see me? Can you hear me? Just a little.
Can you hear me?
Give me a head nod so you know I'm coming through over there. God bless you, lad. So, yeah, we were talking about the fragmentation of journalism and how it's not no longer like a almost for a good portion of the people who would have gotten into journalism, it's no longer a viable career choice, you know. And I guess you could say the same about music. It's becoming more fragmented, you know, because you can essentially download what you want, where you want it, when you want it. And radio doesn't play into it, or MTV doesn't play into influencing you what you're listening to at all anymore.
Yeah, it's just changed, right? And I would guess a lot of generations, as you get older, and I think most generations probably say the same thing. Like it's, you know, like the younger generations are doing it differently. You know? Like the 80s and the 90s have become trendy again, which is like a little mind blowing. You're just like, what? Like, so I'm at a point in my life, you know, I don't think I'm older, you know, I feel good about where I'm at, but like I see these young kids, they're wearing 90s style clothes, and it's just like, oh shit.
Well, actually, the 90s, in my opinion, looking back, was a pretty good decade for music. I thought
I think it was an amazing decade for music.
You had that Seattle thing, and then you had, you know,
hip hop. You had, you had the grunge Seattle, you had hip hop. There's other things I'm going blank right now, but there was a lot of different types of music that integrated.
Yeah. I heard a song again. I'm 50. What am I? 58. I heard a song.
52. Go for it.
Okay. God bless you, lad. Oh, checks in the mail. I was in a supermarket the other day and I heard in the supermarket, A Deeper Shade of Soul. I don't know if you've ever heard that song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
From the 90s. It was like a marginal hit. Yeah. It wasn't like a world-beating hit, but it was. I loved that song. And yeah, that actually goes against what I'm the bullshit I was just throwing at you. I mean, it sampled like Stax music, and it sampled a lot of things. But it was I just thought a great song. And yeah, that was the 90s. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I was there. I was there for the 90s.
I peaked up every once in a while. You know, I'll say this, you know, with music, at the end of the day, if it's a good song and you like it, you like it. Like, because people say, like, what do you like? I'm like, oh, I have my genres or like my specifics. But like, I can listen to easy listening. I can listen to classical. I can listen to off the wall shit. If it sounds good, I'm like, oh, it's a good song. You know,
yeah,
like,
the point I'm really trying to make is like, you could start a musical wave, like new wave, say, or reggae, or, you know, things get hot and people jump on that wagon. It's harder to do that today because of the fragmentation. Like, you can't go on MTV and listen to what they want you to think is the number one song or whatever, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of what you like. And YouTube has become the MTV, right? I'm not saying that they're similar, but like people go to YouTube to find out, or SoundCloud or Spotify.
Sure. I've heard a lot of great new music on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's in that sense, it's more democratic, so to speak, you know?
Yeah. Which is, I think it's a lot easier to get your name out there.
Well, doesn't that kid that today, what's that kid's name?
In the sense of like,
sorry, this is bad internet. It's a bad, bad internet.
You faded out, but you came right back in. But I said, you know, I think it's a lot easier to, I mean, I shouldn't say use the word easy, but to get your name out there, I think you have a lot more options. Today. Like when you were in the 80s and 90s, it was MTV and the radio, and that was kind of it. Like you just had a very small area to kind of put yourself out there.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. As you know, I own an antique center.
Do you?
Here in Millbrook. And we have a record section. Okay. And it's a big room. And, you know, there's a ton of records. But a lot of the and we sell a ton of them. We sell like 25, 30 albums a week, which is pretty good for our standards. And a lot of them are being bought by young kids. And I mean young, like teenagers, early 20s. But they're buying the crap that I listened to when I was their age.
Like the Stones?
Yeah, they're buying the Beatles, the Stones, the, you know, Zeppelin, Grateful Dead, those kind of albums. And I know the reason is because when albums were being phased out by the record companies in place of CDs, after a while, a lot of record companies didn't even, like even for the major artists, didn't come out with albums, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure that they probably are now coming out with albums because albums are back in vogue now. In fact, I heard the other day the number one Christmas present or in the top 10 Christmas presents this past Christmas was record players.
Yeah, they're back. They are. I got one 2 years ago for Christmas, a record player.
Oh, so you're ahead of the curve.
Yeah. But no, a couple of my friends, they're like, they invested in like these nicer turntables and they got good speakers and they said, you know, a record, the quality of a record, you know, on a song on a record, you're going to hear so much more than you do on right. a download or a CD.
Right. But what I wanted to say was there's this huge gap of however many years that was when record companies no longer produce albums and instead produce CDs. You know, I think for a while it was CDs and cassettes or whatever the hell it was. They weren't coming out with albums anymore. There's this huge gap of music that came out that aren't on albums. And now that albums are back in vogue, there's also the same gap that you can't find, you know, People Shade of Soul on a record. Maybe you can, I don't know. But
yeah.
It seems like the whole 90s, maybe in the first decade in the 2000s, all of that music, 20 years of music at least, is not available on record.
No, but I'm sure there's a, people are probably trying to figure out, if we put on vinyl, that's another way to make money, right?
Yeah, reissue all of those CDs that came out. And then the CDs, the reason I think albums are back in vogue, because the CDs essentially took the place of albums, but then digital, you know, on your phone or on your laptop or whatever songs took the place of the CDs.
Yeah, so, like, it's quick.
Well, what a digital file is, which is even what's on a CD, a digital compressed file. It's a compressed file. In order to compress the file, don't be laughing at me, goddammit. In order to compress the file, you have to cut off the lowest lows and the highest highs of the sound. In order to compress into a MP3 or MP4 or a,
that sucks though.
Or a WAV file or whatever the hell's on CD. I think it's a WAV file. Well, you don't really like the naked ear, so to speak, doesn't really pick that up. And it's a lot of that stuff is like digitally remastered or whatever. The clarity's there, but the resonance isn't there.
Yeah.
But when you put the needle on a turntable and you have some good components, you have phenomenal speakers or really good turntables, you know, you'd really notice the difference.
Yeah, you're going to hear. That's what my buddy was talking about, you know. That connects to, you know, you gave me countless albums.
Yeah, I didn't want to touch on this. This is a sensitive subject to those of us that aren't in my family. But I gave him about 5,000 records from my own collection.
I have 50.
You gave it to a girlfriend at the time. And then you just broke up. I shouldn't have gave you the records until you just got married.
Oops. I do have about 50 from that collection now. And so, you know, like it's not completely dead. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that brings me back into the good graces of you, but
yes.
you know.
It's all right. You'll never get out of the good graces. Unless yeah. I read about you in the paper. But then I won't know you.
Yeah.
Isn't that your nephew?
Nah.
Not my nephew. Does he have the same last name? No. It ain't mine. Yeah. But no, that's all right. But yeah, so that's my hypothesis on why records are back in vogue. It's all about the sound.
And I would also say, like, the Led Zeppelins and the Stones and the Beatles, I think that's just, now this may be a little biased, but I think that's timeless music, and I think that's why it always keeps being bought, because well, it's sure. just good fucking music.
Yeah.
You know, well, at the end of the day, like, you put on Led Zeppelin 2, you're doing all right. Like, it's a good album.
Well, technically, like, the Beatles, before my time, they broke up. I was, like, 7 years old. When they broke up, whatever.
That's be upset about it?
No, but my point is, it's timeless. So when I was coming up as a teenager and early 20s, the Beatles were prominent.
Yeah. And, yeah. I mean, they're Paul McCartney. Am I saying it right? McCartney or McCarthy?
McCartney. Yeah.
You know, he makes a phone call today. Tomorrow he's selling out whatever the fuck arena he wants to sell out, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. It's But that the body of work that they did when they were together is just timeless.
Yeah. Now, I mean, oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
it sounded like you leaned back. I thought it was going to be something important.
Got a point.
And now,
drop the hammer.
Yeah.
I'm actually not a Beatles. This is my thinking. I'm like, I don't like the Beatles, right? In my mind. Now they have so many, you know, I don't know. They have, you know, 50, 60 monster hits, probably whatever they have. And like over time, like I find myself like, oh, I like that song. And then my last girlfriend, she's like, you know, you like 20 songs from the Beatles. You know that, right? I'm like, yeah, you think? She's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I guess I do like the Beatles. But like, I think at 18, sometimes you're like, fuck, you know, like everyone likes the Beatles. I ain't going to like the Beatles. That's going to be the band that I'm not going to like. I'm going to prove everybody wrong.
Yes. But
they just have good music, so it's hard.
Well, some people just don't like them, period, you know.
Yeah, but they changed the game.
Your Uncle Steven hated the Beatles. Well, didn't hate the Beatles, but never really liked the Beatles. He liked the Stones. Yeah. So apparently, you know, when I was coming up, there was a big rift between people who liked rock and roll and people who liked disco. Okay, when I was in high school, that was a big thing.
That was the 70s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
studio. Yeah, take it easy. All right. You say it like it was a curse. That was like this. Wasn't that like the 70s?
Like, is it, oh, 70s?
Wasn't that like the 70s? Was it black and white? Or what the hell was going on back then? But anyway, I suspect for people in the 60s that were in their late teens, 20s, really heavily into music, there was that rift too between the Beatles and the Stones. I'm thinking, might be wrong, but I think there was probably, you know, people either like the Stones or you like Steven used to like to say, the Beatles came out with Let It Be. He goes, and the Stones came out with Let It Bleed.
So that's some balls.
Yeah. Let It Bleed.
That's kind of what I was saying before about Nirvana, Pearl Jam. It was like a, you know, it's like you in the early 90s, and now it's, you know, but Nirvana or you were Pearl Jam, like, you know, like there was like a divide.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but, you know.
Well, it's always good. I could talk about music till 3 o'clock in the morning if you let me, but I just wanted to have you on, and it'd be good to have you. We have a lot of, I hate the word guests, because again, I'm doing this for shits and giggles, you know. We have a lot of guests.
Steve,
who do we have coming up?
Yeah.
But no, we have a lot of interesting people that'll be on our future podcast, and it'll be good to have you as a co-host for these people.
Absolutely. I the one thing I do know is that I don't think mean you have a loss of words.
No, yeah, no, so. No. It's almost like we've known each other a long time.
You know, I'll say this to everybody, you know, he's probably my closest uncle. You know, he's been, I know he's going to be like, all right, enough already, but.
Who are you talking to?
whoever's listening.
You know? Oh, you're talking to me in the third person.
Yeah.
You're talking to me about me in the third person.
You know, I grew up with my, you know, I call him T. So if you ever hear me say T, I'm referencing him. But I grew up with him closely my whole life. So yeah, you've been a big part of my life, man. Absolutely.
And vice versa, my friend. Yeah. But we'll have some interesting conversations in the future. And I appreciate you coming by today. We'll talk, you know, maybe I'll sneak a Met game in so I know what the hell I'm talking about. You know, find out who's Alonzo's at first. The rest of it's all gray area.
Next week, Alonzo looks good. All right, Alonzo looks good.
Who's the catcher now? Jerry Grody retire yet?
Yeah. But yeah, listen, it's I love being a part of the Gritty Hour.
Yeah, it'll be fun, you know. And it's still going to be shits and giggles, so.
Yeah, it's
yeah. So, all right. So we'll, next time we have a podcast, hopefully you'll see Shawnee Boy here. And throughout the course of the summer until the fine work of teaching calls you back to the classroom.
Don't say it. Watch your mouth.
All right, Sean. Thanks again, buddy.
All right, T.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.